This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Mention the band The Magnetic Fields and you get one of two reactions: totally blank stares or swooning. The Magnetic Fields formed in 1989 in the Boston area. The seminal CD 69 Love Songs made them the darlings of rock critics in the late 90s. The band is fronted by lead singer, songwriter, and producer Stephen Merritt. 2 years ago, Merritt turned 50 and was challenged to write a song for each year of his life. The resulting new album, 50-Song Memoir, includes the song 78, The Blizzard of 78. It's a discordant, cacophonous remembrance of a time when Merritt and his mother lived at Karma Choling, a Zen Buddhist retreat in Barnet, Vermont. I asked Merritt about that time and about the song. So let's first hear the, well, I can't quite call it a tune.
The first band I'd had was called One and a Half. We were a duo technically. So if Tonto's expanding headband was a band, so were we. I spent a blizzard of 78 on a commune in northern Vermont with all the Ursula Le Guin anybody could want. I played guitar, Chris played tin cans, Carolyn played tambourine. Chris was 11, Carolyn 12, I 13. Called ourselves the Black Widows. We weren't the last nor the first, but we were almost certainly by far the worst. We made the Cramp sound orchestral. That's an achievement, I guess. As for rehearsal, we made the Shags sound like Yes. I spent the blizzard of 78 on a commune in northern Vermont with all the Rogers Elagny anybody could want. It was hell.
The blizzard. My mother was in Boston, and I was at Karma Choling, the commune in Barnet. And normally, in non-blizzard times, I would have taken the school bus. Once the blizzard happened, we didn't have any way of getting to school. I assume it wasn't open, so we sat around outside the whole time for several weeks, at least. But Karma Choling inside is actually a gigantic place. So it was, from a child's point of view, it was fun. We didn't have anything we had to do. We could read and run around and bother the adults.
Was it true that you weren't supposed to make music? So you and the kids making music was a little bit of a rebellion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, music is not allowed except on one day of the month. There'd be day off. And then, just like among the Puritans, all the things that were forbidden normally were suddenly not forbidden. So there'd be lots of nookie for the adults, and music and dancing. And the band that the kids put together played on a day off. So my experience of the blizzard was I was safe and warm indoors, and we had electricity and heat and all those lovely things.
When you set about writing about this, I love the way the song sounds because, you know, as an oral medium, you're trying to tell this story, but also in some ways recreate the sound. And so I don't mean to insult you, but, you know, the music is not particularly good on that song. And I love how the music matches what you're trying to tell in the story. It's really wonderful.
Thank you. It's It's maddeningly repetitive, played on a somewhat out of tune electric dulcimer, which is basically a cigar box guitar with only three strings, with the electrical connection close to shorting out. At one point, it does short out. And a particularly trashy sounding rhythm unit that simulates the sound of a 12-year-old banging on tin cans.
If you were to play that again, could you play it again exactly the same way? I mean, is it improvisational?
Oh,
or
no.
Did you actually? So every piece of that mishmash of sound is intentional.
Is intentional?
As in, it's scripted. You know, it's
a set of cultivated accidents that are herded into some simulacrum of intentionality. I mean, I'm not improvising, but I am playing at the edge of replicability.
When you were stuck at the commune and your mom was in Boston, was she in Boston for weeks then, unable to get back to you?
Yes.
Was that scary?
She had actually moved. She had moved to Boston, I don't know that she told me that she had moved to Boston, but she thought of herself as having moved to Boston. She rented an apartment in West Newton. So I was expected to come down to West Newton. And then the blizzard happened. And so I was delayed by, I don't know, a long time.
Thinking back on your time in Vermont, which, you know, by all accounts was relatively brief, do you have pleasurable feelings about Vermont or not?
I lived in Vermont twice in the same place. I lived there in 1974 when it was called Tale of the Tiger, and then again in 1977-78 when it was called Carmacholing, which it still is. When I was there in 1974, I went to third or fourth grade in public school, and that I remember really unpleasantly. We were learning by rote, and we were learning all in a group, and there was no individual instruction whatsoever. It was basically 19th century teaching techniques, and for some people would have loved that, but I had been in hippie progressive schools where it was all about basically playing with the teacher one-on-one. So for me, it was like a horror movie version of school. I probably like it now, but at the time, I was very oppressed by it. And then for recess, we would go out in the yard and do calisthenics, which I really couldn't do, still can't do. I don't understand how people manage to do jumping jacks. For example, I don't think I can do one jumping jack, and I couldn't as a child either.
In 78, better experience?
I went to a very, very small private school, because there were no public schools for junior high school. I was the only seventh grader, and the only eighth grader was my friend Lydia, because I guess it was a high school that had just been opened up into starting to be a junior high school. There were two possibilities for junior high school. One was St. Johnsbury, which was kind of a prep school, and the other one was this, which was more hippie, but not as hippie as I was used to.
What do you look to the future for now in terms of conquering something, or what would be exciting? You did 50 songs on your 50th birthday. You did 69 love songs. You know, you've done This American Life project. What's the next big thing you want to conquer?
There are some musicals that I want to finish and other ones that I want to start. So what I'm looking forward to right now is working on musical theater.
Well, I'm going to look forward to seeing the results of that work, and I really appreciate you speaking with us. Thank you, Stephen.
All right, thank you.
Stephen Merritt is the lead singer and songwriter for the Magnetic Fields. The band's new album is called 50 Song Memoir.